Caramelly. It's now March 2nd, 2023. My co-host, Elizabeth Cuppet Caramelly, and I are bringing you a program entitled March Memorable People and Mighty Emergency Alerts. We are continuing these portraits from February's programs. I open with, instead of a radio monologue from Elizabeth or me, this sobering warning from Natural News, February 24th, by writer Ethan Huff. The global elite are waging a genocidal war against we, the people. Watch as Mike Adams and Steve Quayle reveal key details. There's a three-pronged war brewing that will soon escalate into a global world war of epic proportions. The West and Russia are now talking nukes. Communist China continues to make threats in Taiwan. And the powers that be are waging a chemical and social war on the American people. This genocidal war on Americans is the primary topic of discussion in the following episode of the Health Ranger Report. Steve Quayle sat down with Mike Adams to talk about how very real things are getting. Quayle stated, quote, "This is the most perilous time that I can remember happening in real time in over 35 years of broadcasting," unquote. He went on to say, "What I think is crucial is that we are now seeing statements coming out of the IMF that billions of people are going to die, that war is going to happen. This Friday, we are seeing absolute movement of tanks and artillery, NATO movements into Romania, also into pre-staging to go into Ukraine. Every red line that Russia has stated would be their end red line, and people don't realize that we, the West, have declared war on Russia. There's no doubt there's no getting away from it. We in the West destroyed the Nord Stream pipeline, and now we're watching in real time massive readings, people that monitor radiation levels around the world. I've never seen such high counts of counts per minute. The disaster in East Palestine, which released the largest chemical dioxin plume in history, is only the tip of the iceberg. It would appear as though the world's global superpowers are now poised to strike all at once, unleashing hell on Earth like never before. China has broke, and this is a quote from Steve Quayle, China has just broke all communications with the U.S., Quayle revealed to Adams, explaining the severity of such a move. He went on to say, the military hotlines work, but China will not respond in any way, shape, or form. When goods don't cross borders, armies do. And when communications cease, unfortunately, that's the worst sign in the world, because something is getting ready to happen. That is an attack on Taiwan and a nuclear first strike on America, unquote. Meanwhile, the Biden regime State Department is acting as though all is well, claiming that Russia does not really mean any of the things it is saying right now. Quayle says this is, quote, the greatest act of delusion promulgated by any defensive force. He went on to say, the same people who are burning the food warehouses, destroying the farmland, they're all being concentrated, I should say orchestrated, out of Washington, D.C. People need to understand war has been declared on you, unquote. And someone wrote in response to the video, which you can see if you go to naturalnews.com, quote, the genocide of the majority of the human population by evil, demonic-influenced people has been ongoing since the fall, but took on a new diabolical level during World War II, when the invention of the nuclear bomb indicated that some men would not hesitate to annihilate all people as, quote, collateral damage, unquote, in taking out their enemy. And the author of that quote continued, and as the decades have passed and each generation of demonic-influenced men figure out that through science and technology they can exterminate people, they too have never hesitated to do so, unquote. Elizabeth?
And we are looking at next at newspunch.com, February 20th. And we know that this is just a horrific thing. We can hardly even think about reporting on it. The headline, our skin is melting. Ohio residents report horrific side effects following train wreck. And Lou, you know, it looks as though this extermination plan that you have been pulling us in on is also using widespread weatherman-type sabotage. And, you know, from these crises, they're going to set up tracking systems, like we're going to tell you about the My ID tracking. And there was another crisis that just happened just as we went to record this program on Wednesday. Tell the listeners what happened and where.
Yes, in Greece, there was a major train wreck. Apparently, a passenger train collided head-on with a freight train. Now, how that can happen in this day and age, I don't know. Something went terribly wrong. All was planned to go terribly wrong. I think they said there were 34 dead, and that number could rise, of course.
Yes. So just as we have all the attacks on the food factories and on the chicken farms or plantations or whatever you want to call them, we have a lot of things that raise our questions. And so, again, the title of the article I'm looking at, the headline, Our Skin is Melting, Ohio Residents Report Horrific Side Effects Following Train Wreck. Residents of East Palestine, Ohio, are experiencing horrific side effects of the chemical attack, including some reports of skin literally melting. On February 3rd, a train hauling 20 cars with hazardous materials derailed in East Palestine, Ohio. A huge fire erupted, which led to the decision to burn vinyl. And, Lou, you were interested because we do track the grocery chains in America. For instance, some of our regular listeners know that we had to stop shopping at Harris Teeter, though we liked their produce. We liked a lot of things about the store, but they hooked up with Procter & Gamble to the tune of, I think, perhaps $20,000-plus to have aisles for all and to promote the LGBTQ agenda. So we just cannot be part of this kind of a LGBTQ advocacy, pushing this social engineering. We can't do it. And so when we go to Pennsylvania, we're very familiar with a supermarket chain called Giant Eagle. And now we have to give them an A+, a star in their crown, because what did you hear?
I heard in the national news, I think it was Fox News, they said that Giant Eagle is not going to use bottled water, not going to sell it, stock it or sell it, bottled water from the general area of where this train wreck took place. I think maybe within a 50-mile radius, if I heard right.
The East Palestine one.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so we will keep tracking things. And many of you listeners look forward to this program because we've been bringing this to you since 2003, and you have keen news analysis with no commercials. Praise God. And we have prayer. And we ask you to pray for longtime faithful friend and listener, Joanne. Joanne has a serious problem, and perhaps it could be cancer, perhaps it isn't. So do pray for her healing. And we also want you to continue to give thanks to the Lord for and pray for that wonderful Pennsylvania doctor who helps us weekly to keep the divided kingdom on the air. Please pray for his health and that his career will keep adding on shifts for him so that his finances will be good. And we love those stamps that he sends us. I think my favorites were the elephants, possibly. And those elves, even though I said they were out of season, we enjoyed them too. We have been so thankful for so many of you who are dipping into your pocketbooks and helping us stay on the air. We cannot thank them enough. There are various people who are somewhat regular in helping us a little bit or a lot, and we do need this very, very much. So if you want to keep helping us, we asked last week if you were able to send something for Dr. Dennis Cuddy, and we do ask that again. We know that he's having a real struggle after having had COVID and having this rent increase of $150 a month. So if you want to send anything, earmark it for Dr. Dennis Cuddy, or just Dennis Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, and Lou and I will pass it on. You can write a check to us. And then we can write another check to him, or you can write the check directly to Dennis K. Cuddy, C-U-D-D-Y, or a money order, and we will see that he gets it. If you missed that very important program last week, in which he was our keynote speaker, you do want to go into our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com and tell others about DividedKingdomRadio.com. Tell them to listen on shortwave, 4.840 megahertz, Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating 7.490 megahertz, Saturday mornings, 8 a.m., and on Mondays, 9.350 in the afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So again, if you can help us, some cash would be helpful. Lou is going to have to buy that new drum that goes on the printer and some various other things. The telephone bill for the little phone is coming up, and that's about $70. So anything you can send us will be very much appreciated to Lou Caverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. The P.O. Box, again, is 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Now, getting back to these important, we said we have some emergency alerts, and we haven't come to the big one yet. The next one is Daily Mail, February 18th. Toxic cloud left Ohio family coughing up blood and forced them to flee their newly purchased home as creek water turned blue and wildlife disappeared after chemical train disaster. Nathan and Kelly Isotic were forced to flee despite living outside the designated, quote, danger of death zone created by the February 3rd Norfolk Southern derailment. The couple revealed wildlife has fled, and they now fear their newly bought 15-acre property 2 miles from chemical train disaster may never be repaired. Oh, listeners, pray for that couple, Nathan and Kelly, I-Z-O-T-I-C. Isotalk, or Isotic, probably. They were forced to leave their East Palestine home the weekend after the environmental catastrophe when they came down with aggressive symptoms. And this article at Daily Mail was by Greg Woodfield. The first obvious sign was the dead fish bobbing in their creek and a toxic blue film on the water. But now there's something else missing from one Ohio couple's woodland, quote, paradise home, 2 miles from the East Palestine chemical train disaster, birdsong, and a constant chitter-chatter of squirrels. The massive acrid black cloud that spewed from the fiery wreck engulfed Nathan and Kelly Isotic's property within 24 hours of the February 3rd disaster, carried by a westerly wind. And then we move to another setting, and this was from newspunch.com February 22nd. Hazmat crew dispatched as fourth train derailed in 10 months in same location in Nebraska. Math teacher Lou Caverly, are you hearing ding, ding, ding warnings?
I most certainly am. Either someone is totally incompetent to find out what's going on, or this is deliberate.
Fourth train in the same location in 10 months.
Well, if things are the way they should be, I would say there's one chance in a million that would happen.
In other words,
almost impossible.
It's almost certain that this was another saboteur's dream.
Yes.
Emergency hazmat crews were dispatched to the small town of Gothenburg, Nebraska, on Monday night after the fourth train derailed in the same location in less than 12 months. Now, we go on, and we have some commentary here from Infowars.com, February 22nd. Ironically, that was the real birthday, wasn't it, of George Washington?
Yes, that's right.
That was the real birthday. This was, again, February 22nd, Infowars. I think here they have written February 21st, but somewhere along the line, I think it was listed the 22nd. Ohio, derailment more deadly than Chernobyl. Experts warn. Alex Jones is joined by Mike Adams of NaturalNews.com and Eric Coppolino, Twitter, Planet Waves, to break down the severity of the fallout from the Ohio train derailment. Lou will have more on that. And dioxin is in the picture, isn't it, Lou?
Yes, very much.
Very
so.
Much. You know, we've always been a little bit worried when we buy ice cream in those waxed boxes because we know that kind of cardboard, there's dioxin. And sometimes it's not waxed very well. But, you know, life itself is a risk. So we had a listener write to us saying, is there definitely mRNA in Novocaine? We had to write back, we do not know, but we heard an important interview with Dr. Jane Ruby and Todd Callender, and she was asking Todd about this, and he felt that from the best of his investigative work, that all injections at this time are suspect, that the elite, the deadly global planners with their deadly plans are getting it in everywhere. So we don't know whether it's in Novocaine. We're not sure. But we would think that what we've decided is only dental emergencies take us to the dentist, and probably only very extreme medical emergencies take us to a doctor or the hospital. You have to make your own decisions, and you have to try to stay well as best you can. It's very, very important that you try. And we know that things are worsening, but God isn't finished yet, a lot of people think, with America. So it's up to you, listeners, to pray very, very hard about the serious things you're going to hear tonight. God could hold the timetable back. You know, Lou, I remember of finding an old, I think it was a Psychology Today magazine from about 1978, and they were talking about the barcodes. They were coming in, and I don't know whether that article or another publication's article warned, you know, this could be the mark of the beast. We're getting really close, but that's a long time ago now. You see, God could foil some of this AI business. People have waked up thanks to that video that went, all over the Internet, died suddenly. We can no longer feel good about totally recommending Stu Peters unequivocally, because why did he leave Dr. Jane Ruby's name out of the credits of that film, Died Suddenly? What happened? What happened? You know, listeners, we could tell you a lot if we were able to really talk about some, quote, alternative radio figures of the past. We'll keep that to a minimum, but let's just say there is a lot of controlled opposition. The government goes sometimes. The FBI bails people out. There was one woman MC of a program who actually belonged to the Masonic organization. What is it, Job's, whatever the women are part of. She belonged there, and she was bailed out various times, called to the FBI, but nothing ever happened to her. But she's very well revered still by many people. So, you know, we're telling you that we are honest. We've spent much of our money, and we're still in considerable debt, but God, in his great mercy, took a hopeless situation and remedied it by selling the old property that we had in Pennsylvania. So our debts are less, and we intend to stick with this. We're up on that wall, and we are sounding the trumpets. We are definitely sounding the trumpet of warning to you. And without Jesus Christ, you'll never make it through what may be coming. But we do plead for his mercy, God Almighty, to hold the timetable back, because here comes the beginning of what could be bad. This was a Gateway Pundit, February 22nd. Local farmer sounds the alarm. Why did East Palestine launch My ID emergency service to surveil biometrics 1 week before Ohio train derailment? By Alicia Powell. And this was February 19th. A man who lives 9 miles away from where the Norfolk Southern train carrying toxic chemicals derailed in eastern Ohio reached out to the Gateway Pundit to sound the alarm on the bizarre coincidences that continue to pile up surrounding the incident. Bob Moore, a 70-year-old farmer and longtime resident of East Palestine, initially ignored local news reports urging residents to sign up for My ID to receive a new biometric tracking device that provides first responders updates about an individual's health conditions amid an emergency or, quote, major disaster. Lou, are your ding, ding, dings going?
Oh, yes, it's dinging like mad.
But the suspicious timing of the government's distribution of this health monitoring digital ID exactly a week before the disaster warrants answers, Moore told the Gateway Pundit in an exclusive interview.
bad enough the My ID service put in at East Palestine in advance, but this next is a million times worse. Listen up very carefully to this headline from hell. Pay attention, for your lives are at stake. 8-star emergency alert. February 20th from the Gateway Pundit. End of American sovereignty. Biden regime negotiates legally binding, that's in quotes, legally binding deal to give Chinese-backed World Health Organization full authority over U.S. pandemic policies. No Senate approval needed. This is by Colin Leinbacher. The Biden regime never fails to orchestrate an avenue to circumvent the U.S. Constitution and betray the American people. A bombshell report from the Epoch Times Saturday reveals the regime is about to surrender America's sovereignty to the World Health Organization, the WHO, and give them full control over future pandemic policy. The Gateway Pundit has reported extensively on these negotiations between the regime and the WHO over the past year. A wise analyst at American Prophecy says this: WHO, World Health Organization, now is in full control of U.S. citizens in the next manufactured pandemic. And if you resist these dangerous vaccines, you will be cut off of the banking system. Can't buy or sell, just like Revelation 13 predicts.
And Lou, right at this time, we know that we have a congregation of listeners who are devoted to Jesus Christ. He is their personal Savior. They believe in Him. They repent daily, as you and I try to do too, and pray to God for forgiveness and for mercy and for sustenance. And I want you to lead the listeners to the divided kingdom in a prayer in which you thank God for His gracious help and everything that He's doing for all of us, and you plead with Him on behalf of all of us to push the timetable back, to hold the new world order back longer till America can repent.
Let's all pray together. Oh, Lord, we ask you now, Father God, that you will delay these things. Show mercy upon Americans and, in fact, on the whole world, because these things threaten everyone everywhere. These demons from hell are trying to institute a new kind of system where no one will have any kind of rights, and they will take over in terms of life itself. We ask your mercy, Almighty God. We ask that you delay these things and defeat the enemies of you and the people of the United States and of the whole world, and delay judgment if it would be possible. Well, of course, we ask that your will ultimately be done, because we are your people. But if it would be possible to push these things back, we ask that that can be done. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lou, so much.
And now we go on to the other question we were talking about a few minutes ago. How real is the World War III nuclear danger? Lifeside News, datelined February 24th, 2023, reported a panel discussion. Here are some excerpts. Note the day March memorable Donald J. Trump is sounding the war warnings drum. And we have this, as it says, from LifeSite News on February the 24th. On this week's episode of Faith and Reason, John Henry Weston, Liz Yore, and Father James Altman discuss the serious times we live in.
And I must interject there, Lou. We like to go to LifeSite News because that is the conservative Roman Catholic voice, and it certainly doesn't approve of the Jesuit kind of strategies that we are always reporting from the CDC, which was founded by a man in the early 1900s who attended the Jesuit Marquette University, which was a research university. We know there are elements of the Jesuit plan in the WHO, but we know that conservative Catholics like John Henry Weston they are not in favor of what Pope Francis is extolling, which is basically the New World Order and the depopulation. So let's hear what these people in this panel said.
Yes, those folks were discussing the serious times we live in, made more evident by the devastating earthquakes in Syria and Turkey, and Donald Trump's warning that the world has never been closer to World War III than it is now, and also Pope Francis's effort to crack down on the Latin Mass even harder, all while promoting the lie of interreligious, quote-unquote, brotherhood. In reaction to Trump's remarks about World War III, Father Altman reminds us that no one wins, and everyone loses in the event of a nuclear war. So he asks, why are the mainstream media and our globalist leaders pushing propaganda about Vladimir Putin potentially using nukes to get his way in Ukraine? And he went on to say, quote, Russia is no more close to pushing the button than is China, than is the United States. And so why are they filling us with this narrative and this propaganda for manipulative purposes? And if we had any doubt about how far they will go to manipulate us, we saw it in March 2020 when they shut down the globe on a, quote, fear-demic, unquote. This is nothing more than mere fear-mongering. And to what end? To what purpose? Unquote. The answer, Father says, is to push the idea of a one-world government. What's more, the globalist overtones of such a concept are also present in Pope Francis's concern about, quote-unquote, brotherhood between Catholics, Muslims, and Jews, since they are both rooted in the same secular humanist philosophy. Liz Yore calls the opening of the new Abrahamic family house in the United Arab Emirates a, quote, troubling development, unquote. A direct consequence of the Abu Dhabi declaration signed by Pope Francis, the new multi-faith center was also widely panned as a mockery of Catholic architecture. And here's a quote, the signing of the document, the hugging and the kissing of Francis and Ahmed Al-Tayeb, it is a fraud, it is a farce, because in reality, Al-Tayeb says Islam is incompatible with the West. It's out of his mouth, she says. This is Miss Yore. And she went on to say, we are to believe that this one world religion, this Abrahamic faith center, is one in which peace will be restored. In fact, there are serious differences. 2,000 years of Christianity has proven serious differences between the religions. The job of the Pope is to protect the teachings of the Church and to evangelize the faith, not to hug and kiss and sign agreements with somebody who pretends to be his brother in the faith, she adds. And this is Lou. Whether or not we are really on the brink of a nuclear World War III is inconclusive at this time. We must be aware of fear-mongering propaganda, but we also cannot be complacent. Lots of prayer is needed. And keep up with the stats. Here, for example, we have this headline. This was from the Daily Mail, February 27th. The headline, China's naval fleet is growing and the U.S. can keep up with the warship buildup as Beijing uses its sea power to project an increasingly aggressive military posture globally, Navy Secretary warns. U.S. Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro voiced concern in remarks on Wednesday. He said China has 340 active warships compared to about 280 for the U.S. Navy. He claimed U.S. naval shipyards can't match the output of Chinese ones. The U.S. Secretary of the Navy has raised the alarm that China's naval fleet surpasses America's in number of ships and is growing faster than the U.S.'s current capacity to match. It's no secret, and this is a quote, it's no secret that the People's Republic of China seeks to upend our dominance on the oceans across the globe, said Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro in remarks at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday. Del Toro said that China's Navy has recently added over 100 combatants to its fleet, calling it a, quote, naval buildup that is a key component of its increasingly aggressive military posture globally. And now we move on back to the train derailment. We have some more information on that. This was by Bell Carter from Natural News, February 24th, 2023. Oh, Ohio train derailment and toxic chemical spill. Mike Adams says nothing comes close to the toxicity of dioxins. An investigative reporter who specializes in corporate fraud and toxic torts litigation revealed that the combusted chlorinated compounds at the East Palestine derailment site expose the air, water, and ground, as well as people, animals, and other living organisms to a, quote, deadly and toxic chemical soup called dioxin. In his Substack account, Eric Francis Coppolino said what happened to the train wreck was that both chlorinated chemicals and ordinary cargo burned at the same time, which multiplied that harmful effect. The ash pit and the plume of smoke that spread was certain to contain chlorinated dioxins. During a recent podcast, Health Ranger Mike Adams lauded Coppolino's contribution in the study of this highly damaging chemical. Quote, nothing comes close to the toxicity of dioxins, Adams said. He went on to say, and what scientists have come to realize is that there is literally no safe level of exposure. Even if you're exposed to one quadrillionth of a gram, you will suffer negative effects, unquote. Worse, dioxins are classified as persistent pollutants and forever chemicals. And back to the quote from Mike Adams, they are also called the perfect poison. They simply don't degrade and have chlorine, and they have chlorine atoms on the four corners, if you look at a diagram of the molecule. These chlorine atoms make this thing armored, so nothing can come in and mess with the molecule, Adams said. And that's not all, because according to Adams, dioxins are bioaccumulative. Quote, it builds up in fat tissues and through the food chain. The cows eat the grass that's covered with dioxins, which ends up in beef, milk, cheese, and dairy. And then humans eat that. And then they accumulate the dioxins. It just keeps getting more and more concentrated as you move up the food chain, Mike explained, adding that people living in East Palestine are practically the whole northeast quadrant of the state of Ohio and the northwest section of Pennsylvania, and probably New York State and Canada, should be wary of being indirectly exposed. Meanwhile, Coppolino called out President Joe Biden's administration to stop downplaying and covering up the real situation. And in a related article you could refer to if you go to naturalnews.com, it had this title, Government Orders Norfolk Southern to Pay for Train Derailment Cleanup Costs. But the EPA still won't mention dioxins. And back to Mr. Coppolino's quotes, the same playbook shows up over and over again. Minimizing the dangers, testing irregularities, including losing, and that's in quotes, losing samples or results, testing for the wrong chemicals, propping up shills to say everything is safe, referring to or creating fraudulent studies, creating endless delays, and a few others you will come to recognize, Mr. Coppolino wrote. He went on to say, then, sadly, in most instances, the public tends to jump on board and accepts reassurance, pretending there is not a problem, as most people cannot wrap their minds around the nature of a substance measured in quadrillionths of a gram, and here's in parentheses, femtograms is the scientific word. That ends his quote. The subheadline, Adams, stop producing chlorinated compounds. Mike Adams pointed out that as long as manufacturers keep producing consumer products with chlorinated compounds, quote, we are piling toxicity layer upon layer in our landfills, soils, and our food supply, unquote. He explained that America is a throwaway society, meaning people generate all kinds of stuff with chlorinated compounds, use them for a while, dump them in landfills, and even get them incinerated. Mike Adams says, quote, when these are dumped in the landfill, or let's say if they're incinerated, you're going to create dioxins from the chlorinated compounds. Or if there's a house fire, the PVC or cookware that's burned up in the house fire actually generates dioxins, which just go right up into the air and spread all over the place. While it may be difficult to do away with the said components because they actually highly useful in industrial processes, Adams says these or there are some things people can do to at least, quote-unquote, substitute the products that use them. For example, you can stop using PVC for plumbing and instead start using PEX piping or cross-linked polyethylene. He noted, quote, PVC is a crazy toxic, while PEX is just normal trash. Nowhere near as toxic if you set it on fire. There are things we can do as a society that we need to make some decisions about. And we need to understand what it takes to eliminate dioxins.
And here is another March memorable portrait of the EPA head, Lou. This was by Bell Carter at naturalnews.com. EPA chief downplays Ohio chemical spill, says he'll allow his kids to drink and bathe in East Palestine's water. Michael Regan, the administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, remarked that he would allow his own children to drink and bathe in the public water at East Palestine, Ohio, where a chemical-loaded train derailed and spilled the lethal cargo. The EPA head made his remark with a caveat. He will only permit his children there as long as the water had been tested and deemed safe by officials. Lou, I have to interject from what you read. There's a lot of hanky-panky going on. We can't trust that. And now we go on, quote, as a father, I trust the science. I trust the methodology that this state is using, and as a parent, I would. He said, seeking to reassure skeptical residents that the water is safe to drink and the air around the crash site is safe to breathe. And I interject again. I don't think we're going to see a promo video clip of his children anytime soon doing those things, do you?
No, and let me interrupt, too. What really irritates me, and it has in all the discussion of COVID and everything else, is they say, oh, the science. Well, if it was real science, we're all for it. But a lot of what they pass along as science has nothing to do with real science. It's their own opinions and their own agenda being rejected.
Yes, a part of the cover-up and the brainwashing. Back to the article, Regan's remarks followed a challenge posted by Senator J.D. Vance, Republican of Ohio, on Twitter. The Republican lawmaker visited a local creek in East Palestine on February 16th and dragged a stick through a creek bed. Vance then stirred up an oily-looking rainbow sheen on the water's surface. Quote, if the EPA administrator wants to stand here and tell people that the tap water is safe, he should be willing to drink it, Vance wrote. The senator firmly told residents not to drink from the water supply and to drink bottled water instead, which is being supplied by the government at no cost. A day before Vance's visit, the local EPA office announced on February 15th that tests on five wells that supply drinking water to East Palestine, quote, showed no detection of contaminants associated with the train derailment. However, the office also disclosed that the enforceable maximum contaminant level for vinyl chloride, the main hazardous chemical involved in the spill in drinking water, is 2 parts per billion. Moreover, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources said dead fish had appeared along more than 7 miles of streams. According to its estimates, at least 3,500 fish, mostly small ones such as minnows and darters. Have you heard of that fish, Lou?
I think I have.
D-A-R-T-E-R-S,
yeah,
turned up dead following the disaster.
And to make matters worse, for the Buckeye State, the Biden administration rejected Ohio Governor Mike DeWine's request for disaster relief following the train derailment and chemical spill. DeWine's office has been regularly contacting FEMA, but the agency continues to tell the governor that Ohio isn't eligible for disaster assistance. According to a federal official, it has already provided extensive assistance to surrounding communities following the chemical release. But the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, the agency that usually provides relief to communities hit by hurricanes and other natural disasters, isn't equipped to support the state's current needs, the official added. Quote, the Biden administration is mobilizing a robust, multi-agency effort to support the people of East Palestine, Ohio. Since February 3rd, EPA has had personnel on the ground. FEMA is coordinating with the Emergency Operations Center, working closely with the Ohio Emergency Management Agency.
And we must interject, Lou, here, that the late beloved figure Al Coppett, who discovered the red and blue lists that were on a Nazi template, ready to round up patriots when the right time came in the New World Order, discussed FEMA at great length many times. And according to him, this is just a cover. This Emergency Management Agency is a cover for the real Gestapo-like forces that will be opening the camps one day and be escorting all of us in there at that time if God's mercy doesn't give us more time. So FEMA was a little bit shaky on helping here.
Oh, I'd say so. And they pointed out, that is, FEMA pointed out, that East Palestine needs much more expansive help than what FEMA can provide because the, quote, situation is different, unquote. And another quote, the state needed to help testing the, needed help testing the water and air. EPA is providing it. They called for an investigation into the derailment. The Department of Transportation is on it. The governor today asked for help to conduct additional public health testing and assessments. We're, and this is the federal government, we're deploying teams from HHS and the CDC to get that done, unquote. And some more related stories that can be obtained at Natural News. Here's one, Norfolk Southern trying to buy off East Palestine residents for just $1,000 to silence them forever and block all future cancer lawsuits resulting from vinyl chloride train catastrophe. Wow, can you buy a house for $1,000? Mm. I don't think so. Another headline, or another story. East Palestine residents report headaches, anger, and, quote, burning skin, unquote, following the train incident. And a third, EPA warns about dioxins released from chlorinated compounds, such as polyvinyl chloride, and in parentheses it has PVC, or backyard burning of household trash.
And now we move back to the world scene. We're looking at these March memorable figures, and even as former President Jimmy Carter declines on hospice care, we have this from Gateway Pundit. President G.W. Bush celebrates 20 years of AIDS work in Africa with Nancy Pelosi, Tony Blinken, and Bill Gates by Joe Hoft. If there ever was an example of globalists and the Unit Party in action, it's this one. President George W. Bush celebrated 20 years of his PEPFAR program. Now, listeners, that's spelled P-E-P-F-A-R. And you know what? I wonder about that. The PEP, you see, goes far. But I wonder whether that stands for Population Eradication Program. Population Eradication Program. There isn't too much pep in an agenda like that, is there, Lou?
No, far from.
No. So anyway, G.W. Bush is proud of his work with PEPFAR. The fact that Nancy Pelosi, Tony Blinken, and Bill Gates are, too, should tell you something. Again, this is by Joe Hoft. Since PEPFAR's inception in 2003, the U.S. government has invested over $100 billion in the global HIV/AIDS response, saving over 20 million lives, preventing millions of HIV infections, and supporting several countries to achieve HIV epidemic control, all while significantly strengthening global economic security. The program leverages the power of partnerships across multiple sectors, reaches the population that are most affected by the HIV/AIDS epidemic with innovative solutions that meet their needs, ensures that every dollar is optimally focused for impact through data-driven policies, and supports partner countries to do the same. PEPFAR is managed and overseen by the U.S. Department of State's Office of the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and Health Diplomacy and implemented by seven U.S. government departments and agencies, leveraging the power of a whole-of-government approach to controlling the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Back in April of 2020, while COVID fear was taking over the world, based on faulty information on its mortality rates, world leaders in the medical community were pushing for backward mandates that didn't prevent COVID from spreading, but did destroy families, incomes, and small businesses. When smaller countries implemented those insane mandates, people died. It was at this point in time that the Gateway Pundit reported on the faulty information on COVID and the connection those pushing those narratives had over the past few decades. PEPFAR was one organization that was uncovered. At that time, we realized that the Clinton Foundation was knee-deep in the coronavirus crisis due to its many connections with the Gates Foundation, PEPFAR, and the WHO. Not surprisingly, Twitter took down the tweets supporting the story, and the account is still to this day suspended. In addition to the Clinton Foundation connection, the failed doctor of COVID fame, Dr. Deborah Birx, served as the U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator, implementing PEPFAR programs around the world. PEPFAR claims to have saved 20 million lives around the world, but based on the individuals involved in the venture, who really knows?
It's not just the new diagnostic health code in the U.S. Across the pond, we have this. Globalist Tony Blair again pushes biometric digital IDs for all UK citizens. By Ken Bacon, LifeSite News, February 24th, 2023. Former UK Prime Minister Tony Blair is again promoting a controversial plan to give every British citizen a digital ID. This would entail the utilization of new biometric technology to store a person's passport, driver's license, tax records, qualifications, and their right-to-work status. Sir Tony had previously attempted to introduce ID cards during his time as Prime Minister. Blair and former conservative lawmaker William Hague has stated that a major transformation of the government with regards to technology is necessary in order to keep up with the ever-changing world. However, there was backlash from their demands, with Sir Jake Barry calling it a, quote, creepy state plan to track you from the cradle to the grave, unquote.
And Lou, can't we see the parallel here with the My ID being put in? This is the
yes.
world government, the Iron Gate trying to close on all of us with the biometric approach.
Yes, it certainly is. Going on, Blair and Hague revealed their plot in an article for The Times, in which they said, quote, politics must change radically because the world is changing radically. We are living through a 21st century technology revolution as huge in its implications as the 19th century industrial revolution, unquote. The duo alleged that current politicians were, quote, in danger of conducting a 20th century fight at the margins of tax and spending policy when the issue is how we harness this new revolution to reimagine the state and public services, unquote. The duo demand digital IDs for every citizen. They also called for, quote, a national health infrastructure that uses data to improve care and keep costs down, and sovereign AI systems backed by supercomputing capabilities, unquote. In an interview with BBC Radio 4, Blair highlighted how countries, quote, as small as Estonia and as large as India, unquote, are moving towards digital IDs. Blair said, if you look at the biometric technology that allows you to do digital ID today, it can overcome many of these problems. Big Brother Watch condemned Blair for pushing for a digital identity system. Big Brother Watch director Silky Carlo said, quote, Sir Tony and Lord Hague are absolutely right about the need for the UK to take leadership in technological innovation. But this means protecting people's rights and privacy, not reviving failed proposals for an intrusive mass digital identity system in a database state, unquote. And Carlo added, a sprawling digital identity system of the type described by Sir Tony and Lord Hague is utterly retrograde and would be one of the biggest assaults on privacy ever seen in the United Kingdom. The public has consistently opposed mandatory ID systems, and there's absolutely nothing to suggest the public would want or support such a digital ID system now, unquote. Blair recently called for global organizations such as the World Trade Organization, WTO, and World Economic Forum, WEF, to push national governments to introduce, quote, digital infrastructure, unquote, that monitors who has been vaccinated and who hasn't.
And let us not forget, there were extreme occult activities and practices surrounding Tony Blair and his close family and friends. We remember hearing about that. Go ahead, Lou. Now I think, are we moving to Elon Musk?
We are, yes.
Now, he's a memorable person.
He sure is, yes. This is from LifeSite News by David McClune. And the headline reads, Elon Musk suffered COVID jab injury. Quote, I had major side effects from my second booster shot, unquote. Billionaire entrepreneur and Twitter owner Elon Musk announced that he had, quote, major side effects, unquote, after taking his second booster shot of the COVID jabs. The illness he experienced after the booster left him wondering if he would suffer permanent damage from the injection. In a tweet shared Saturday morning, the Tesla and SpaceX founder shared that following reception of his second booster, he, quote, felt like he was dying for several days, unquote, before adding a hopeful note that no permanent damage may have been caused. Elon Musk does it again and blasts the World Economic Forum for their overpopulation ideology on Twitter. Musk, whom we certainly don't agree with on many things, thankfully, wisely, reacted to WEF darling Jane Goodall's view that the Earth would be better off with a far lower population by saying that this philosophy, quote, is the death of humanity, unquote. He has frequently stated that his greatest concern is the dangerously low birth rate of the world. Wall Street Silver, an investment forum, agrees with him, saying an impending population collapse and low birth rates will be the real problem for the world's future. Musk and Wall Street Silver are correct, but almost all globalists are rapidly implementing their New World Order Great Reset under the totally false anti-human assumption that the world is vastly overpopulated. They are dead wrong, and I use that word deliberately, because they have been creating problems, I should say programs and conditions, including COVID itself, but especially the COVID jabs. And their global digital ID economic system forced cutting back of farmland, forcing of artificial foods, elimination of meats, promotion of abortion, sterilization, and sterile LGBT lifestyles, and possibly even a new world war, which strongly appear intended to eliminate vast numbers of people and stop most births in order to drastically and rapidly reduce world population. They are propagandizing everyone on a massive scale in the media, in schools, and from all government agencies to falsely believe that the world is doomed unless there are far fewer humans. Have you not noticed BBC Earth, Sir David Attenborough, and most other nature programs and networks dooming and glooming more than ever in almost every program now over the past few years? And I'll interject. When I was a boy, which is many years ago, I used to listen to a program on WBZ, the big Boston station. One of the frequent guests was Isaac Asimov, the noted science fiction writer. At that time, he said the Earth was doomed, and probably within 10 or 20 years, there would be a terrible calamity. Well, here it is, at least 50 years later, and that has not happened. Going on with the article, all that is what is behind most of what we have been fighting for the past several decades, their alleged false overpopulation claim. It's all lies, and they have been caught in most of their lies. It is either just not happening, or there are natural cycles that always come and go. Don't believe any of it. This is what is behind abortion, euthanasia, the sexual revolution, the collapse of family life, and even to a large degree the collapse of faith institutions that have been infiltrated by anti-human, anti-God Marxists and Freemasons. It is an overall demonic movement.
Yes, Lou, and we're glad the writer pointed that out, the demonic influence. We had a headline from LifeSite News, January 19th, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker praises abortion at the World Economic Forum meeting in Davos. And he said, in my state, people want to ban assault weapons. We just did that. Protect a woman's right to choose. We just did that. He's probably hoping to have a presidential run in 2024. So we have these people who have have very little conscience left in a Christian sense. And then we have some worries about Elon Musk again, whether he's swinging back toward the dark side, because this was the AP, January 27th, Elon Musk meets with top Biden administration officials in Washington, D.C., and this was to discuss the electric vehicle industry and the broader goal of electrification. So now we can see that although Musk did not get to meet with Biden, he met with other people there. I think White House aides Mitch Landrieu and John Podesta, oh yes, of spirit cooking fame, sat down with the Tesla chief, who also owns Twitter and SpaceX, at Tesla's office in downtown Washington to discuss shared goals around electrification. So we're wondering what really went on there. Their discussion, it says in the article, touched on how infrastructure and climate legislation that Biden signed into law last year can help boost the production of electric vehicles and charging stations and encourage more people to switch from gas-fueled to electric-powered vehicles and to choose more electric appliances like heat pumps and stoves. Rebates and tax credits are available to encourage that shift. Ask whether that meeting signaled a new phase in White House relations with Musk. Jean-Pierre, he was an official there, said it says a lot about how Biden sees the importance of both pieces of legislation. So we hope that Elon Musk will keep his eyes open and remember what he said about the COVID shots. That was his direct experience. But he has an influence, and one of these representatives said, quote, I think it's important that his team, senior members of his team, had a meeting with Elon Musk, and that was speaking of the Biden relations with Musk and how Biden sees the importance, you see, of this public-private partnerships. We have to keep our eyes open. We have to be discerning people in the times we're living in. And most of all, we are enjoying bringing you this news. There was a little quick one on Joe Biden himself. He fantasizes about making white Americans an absolute minority through nonstop immigration. That's a flashback video. You'll have to wait and probably hear a little more about that next week. We will be bringing you the hard-hitting news and possibly looking into some of these very stunning emergency alerts that Lou mentioned to you tonight, the 8-star alerts. We cannot have the WHO taking charge of our country in time of a world pandemic. We cannot have this. We must stand up for our constitutional rights. Good night.